Hello, game friends, and welcome to our first annual Holiday Havoc storyline. Hostage for the Holidays is a berserk, irreverent take on a holiday special. So if you're super invested in the winter holidays, or don't feel that you have a good sense of humor about them, you might want to skip this one and catch us starting in the new year when we roll out our Ravenloft Tiny Terrors campaign. The version that you'll be hearing of Hostage for the Holidays here is our nice cut, where we've removed some of the coarser bits of conversation and content, as well as bleeped out most of the bad words. If you'd like to hear the full naughty cut, it's available for all tier members of our Patreon, which you can find at www.patreon.com/realplaygamespod. As always, all specific content warnings for each episode can be found in the episode descriptions. We're using the Heroes Unlimited 2nd Edition system for Hostage for the Holidays, and you can find Heroes Unlimited, as well as the rest of Palladium's Megaverse role-playing game settings, at www.palladiumbooks.com or wherever fine RPG products are sold. Without any further ado, we hope you enjoy the show. And they're looking directly at you at this point, Santana.
The last one perished inside of a, we should call it a sex worker place.
God damn.
Outside of Guadalajara, Mexico.
The life you live.
I mean, that wasn't me.
Oh.
It was a massive cocaine overdose.
I'm sorry for your loss.
We have lost little. There is always an inheritor. You are the new Santa.
Wait, what the f***? I take out both my guns.
They immediately react. You see the gemstones start pulsating, and immediately prisms of light start beaming their way towards you.
This is just a new Satan or Santa?
Santa.
Oh, put my guns back. Oh, that's actually...
oh, she looks at him and she's like, was he going to shoot them or me?
I didn't know. I was a bit concerned. I thought he said Satan. It's Santa. I want to see where this goes. I got concerned. I am so sorry.
Are you apologizing to them or me?
Y'all can choose.
They all give you some disdainful looks, Railgun.
he reacts fast. It's his thing.
Sometimes that is good in a protector. Sometimes it is not.
I don't think I understand. I'm sorry. Are you the ones who had me brought here?
They all nod, and you hear little grinding sounds as they nod because of the gems shifting.
I don't understand.
The diamond one holds its hands up, and then the ruby one stands up, and it sounds like it's clearing its throat. It goes,
child, the purview of winter falls under the domain of earth. Therefore, it was our responsibility to see you safe to where you needed to be.
What is this whole child of winter thing? I'm Santa?
The mark that you bear.
She looks at her tattoo of the needle and thread.
Grinding noises as it shakes its head.
It touches her shoulder, her right shoulder.
As you touch it, you feel that your scar feels different.
Okay, because normally it feels like almost like a full circle, right?
Feels like a full circle, but there's separations in the circle now. And they're very symmetrical.
Railgun, do you know what my scar looks like?
No.
As you look at her scar, it looks like a perfect fractal representation of a snowflake.
So you mean to tell me you had me, an international criminal, safeguard, get into a fight with vampires. See, this explains the Mexican Jesus. Yeah, you're probably the next Santa.
How does that connect? How would that connect?
Well, all right, think about it. In all honesty, everything was straight up. Well, Jesus wasn't born in the time of December, right? But you're also not dealing with the real Jesus. You were dealing with Mexican Jesus. And of course, Mexican Jesus would think he was that important. Didn't he give you the sack?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, the sack.
Yeah. Yeah, that should have been clue number one. And we got gifts.
You got gifts.
Yeah.
you see them starting to rub their hands together, and it's making like a low-level grinding sound. And at first, you just think they look really satisfied. But then you notice that the floor is rumbling a little bit. And from out of the stone that's beneath your feet comes what looks like a metal structure at first. But then you realize what it is.
A sleigh.
It's a sleigh. But it's strange. It hurts your eyes to look at it.
Why?
Every time you look at it, it looks slightly different than the time it did before. And as you're looking at it, you start becoming assailed with more memory of lifetimes lived previously.
Dying in a brothel.
That's one of them. Cocaine. Correct. Yes, unfortunately. They're not all good ones.
It was me.
Another one is a woman wearing some kind of armor and hacking at what appear to be were-creatures with a silvery axe.
Is the fighting that I've been going through since I met Railgun, is that a normal Santa thing?
Not all the time, no. Usually Santa is the one who is protected by his protector. And he gestures towards Railgun. The claws.
You got my money.
Oh, do not misunderstand. You are to be the protector of the Santa. That makes you the Claws of Winter.
How are
you
white kids? Why?
You do not have to deal with children. You just need to protect Santa.
You put something in my drink.
No.
You give me pills. Is this a visa?
You start snapping out of the memories that you're going through, you realize that you've awakened some more new abilities.
Oh, hell yeah, I have.
And double your PPE.
Oh, I go small.
Oh, no, super
remember?
Small.
Remember? That's how I go. That's probably how I get through chimneys.
Yeah, it does make sense.
She can also levitate.
And I can tell good from bad.
And one of her other abilities.
You're not on the good list if you got an X.
One of her other abilities is impervious to fire.
Does being the claws come with anything like being the Santa does?
What? The claws typically survives as long as the Santa does. In addition, every claws has had unique abilities that they already possessed enhanced by the position of protector for the Santa.
Yeah, I got some abilities now. I got some Santa abilities.
Oh my god. I guess because we've made it this far, I might as well go all the way.
You would protect, you'd be the Claws of Winter?
Well, they're all going to want to kill you. Hell, even I want to kill you a little bit, but Santa must exist. And if I have to read a clause, I'll make it happen.
Every time you're kind to me, you threaten my life.
That's the cost of this. I need you to know that. I need you to know that that is the price of having eternal protection, is it's going to get weird.
Yeah. I don't think I have a choice in this. I got the tattoo. I have sack.
You've got the sleigh now.
I reach into my bag.
There's a package inside.
I pull it out.
It says, to the gnomes of Zurich, from Santa.
Oh my god, I feel like this is the ritual.
Oh, okay. Give it to him, but do realize, once you do this, you can't go back. You're Santa.
I don't think I can.
You gotta get a beard.
One of the gnomes holds their hand up and says,
no, no, you are not Santa yet. You still need to go to North Pole.
Give him the gift.
Reach final ascension.
Yeah, give him the gift.
But you'll come with me?
Why not?
Well, someone will need to pull sleigh.
No, that's awful.
Is this because I'm black? You know what?
My friend, no. He holds his hands up to you very conciliatorily. He's like, you are simply the fastest creature around.
Give him the gift. Well, thank you, North Pole. I don't want to ever come back here. I just want to go home. I swear, if I stay out here any longer, I'm going to bust them up. I'm going to sell them to K Jewelers. And I'm going to call it a goddamn day. We need to get going. You got to make sure you ascend.
I hand them the gift. Probably contact should be through me in the future. But
they take it graciously. And as they open it up, you can see the entire box is chock full of tiny little gemstones.
Merry Christmas.
And they start gathering around and taking handfuls out and eating them.
Ooh, even better. Happy winter.
And they offer some of them to you, Railgun. They say, enjoy deliciousness.
I'll save them for the trip.
Okay, yeah. You take a handful of loose gemstones from the gnomes of Zurich.
Yeah.
We get on.
As you touch the sleigh, tell me what you think Santa's sleigh should look like.
Let me just make sure I'm making the right reference before I say what I immediately thought of a Santa's sleigh, which is probably very indicative of my mental health. Okay, yeah, I totally kind of picture the Sleigh of the White Queen in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe cartoon.
It transforms into exactly that.
Oh, wow.
And what do you think Santa's bag would look like?
I mean, I'm kind of fond of the burlap sack, but that's not very Santa-like, but...
It stays a burlap sack.
I love my burlap sack. I keep it in my shirt.
It gets a pretty decorative red ribbon around the mouth of it. And the gnomes say, once you have gone through the final apotheosis to your form, you will be the Santa. Santa Santana.
Yeah, I'm strongly getting the feeling that I can't say no. I was chosen, you know?
You could, but it would require another search, and unfortunately, there is very little time left. We are almost at Leon Day.
What's Leon Day?
It is the date furthest from Christmas on the calendar year.
Oh, is that when I have to be Santa by?
Typically, the apotheosis is commenced before that time. I do not know what would happen if it happened afterwards. And they all start grumbling and looking very concerned.
So we have how many days?
You have, at this point, 12 hours.
Oh.
We will... Thank you. We need to go.
Okay, I get on the sleigh. I'm sorry you have to pull it. Like, I wish I can't.
Oh, no, it's okay.
It's not like that.
Mm-hmm. What's next? You got the whip to get me to go a little
faster? Can I just ride in your pocket again? It felt better to be in the
pocket. Nah, you Santa now. Get in the back.
I don't want to
get in the back. You're Santa now.
I'd rather be in the pocket.
The gnomes hold their hands up again, knowing that you look very aggrieved, and they're like, if you can find a number of animals to harness up to it, it won't be as fast as you. It's just why we suggested it, my friend. We're sorry.
Like, any animals or...
They have to all be the same kind.
No, I swear.
But wait, like I can hook up mice?
Yeah.
Would they just go really slow?
It would not be a very efficient way.
All right, let me get you there. Wait.
Would it help if we hooked it up to a car or something? And then
No. This is some Make America Great Again bullshit.
Oh, I'm out of here. I want to ride in your pocket. I cannot ride in this. This is, no.
No, it's okay.
I'm not.
I'm crying over it right now.
Because I swear to God, every February when I look at the pages, I really see some sleigh shit. You know what? Yeah, all right. Just hook it the fuck up. I'm going to run.
Grab the reins instead of, you just like put your hands out and hold them instead of hooking yourself up to anything.
I'm back in the pocket. It doesn't have to be like, I don't have to be in the seat.
As I'm traveling, there's a path for the sleigh to go to. Now that's weird. I can only run as fast on the ground. How do we get airborne? Does that work because I'm attached to the sled? Like, because I'm holding on to the reins, like, I can go airborne?
Correct.
Awesome.
You can fly.
So, to bring the point home, how far is the trip?
Trip's going to be about 2,900-something miles.
Can he, but you said he runs faster because...
Yeah, you run about 500 miles per hour when you're hooked up to the sleigh.
Because he's willing to accept the...
All right, so it's 2,000...
No, because he's using the sleigh.
All right. So that's about what, like 5 hours?
Five hours and some change.
All right, good. All right, cool. Because in the entire 5 hour trip, I am seeing every Negro spiritual I know. And we're off. Every single one. Every single one. Extra loud.
I didn't want this. You kidnapped me. You brought me to people.
Did we leave the cave?
Yes.
All right, you know what? I was just rich. I just want those gnomes pissed me the off. I don't like this.
That's fine. I was gonna say you cannot take this out on me.
I was just saying that out loud. He really felt bad about the racism. I felt
all of those gnomes looked horrified. Like they had made the worst social faux pas when you were leaving.
Good.
They all looked deeply uncomfortable.
Good. You know what? I feel better about myself. I got you. Let's get to North Pole so you can get ascended.
Okay. We're good though, right?
Oh, well, we should.
Okay, because
I'm your Claus, your Santa. Let's just do this. I gotta have a little fun. That was worth it.
So I can remember all the past lives of the Santas.
Well, most of them. You feel that there's still some gaps in your vision as far as your experience, but you recall dozens of lifetimes worth of Santa-ing.
I'm going to tell you that. Like, do you want to know what some of the past stuff is? Because I remember a lot of stuff. I remember what happened in the brothel.
You know what?
Do you think they give us therapy? Because I think I need therapy.
No, they don't give us therapy. You just have a job to do. Think about it. What qualified you, except for a birthmark, for you to be Santa?
I don't know. I like dolls. Do you think that factored in? Oh my God. Do you think I like dolls because I'm a Santa?
Probably.
How much of my life has been me and how much of it has been like pre-Santa?
You think you have choices?
I don't know anymore.
Probably not. No, that's to say, you know, really. In all honesty, you probably did make the right choice.
I love how he gaslights the
out of you.
Every time he says something nice, he says something awful.
He does. He's the most backhanded compliment. That's why you're a super villain, my friend.
Yeah.
You have bad communication skills.
Yeah, you're not even that bad in what you do. You just tear people down.
Have any of the other Santas in closets had conversations about how they were picked?
Oh, yeah.
Did they come up to any kind of consensus?
The,
I feel like Aang.
Actually, give me a percentile roll to see how well you access the Santa state.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Is she like Deku or
is
she
Aang? Do my eyes go white? Do I have a blue?
What are we going
through? No, your eyes get stripes of red and green in them.
Oh, my God. Like Hold on. Eyes.
Wait. No, really. Is she more like a Deku with this or is she more like...
More like Aang.
Okay, good. Because I was about to say...
She levitates a little bit while she's focusing. She's like hovering lightly in the sled. Again.
We're going to die.
You have more white streaks in your hair now, too.
Through the dye.
No, the dye. You're Santa.
You were joking about the beard, right? Okay, so wait. I feel like it's more important for me to figure out if I remember having a beard. I rolled 100. I don't... I'm like, maybe I had a beard.
In that moment, when you're concentrating as hard as you are on beards... You only recall the lives you lived where you had a beard, including 3 female lives and 2 non-binary lives.
Ooh.
The most lustrous of all of the beards, in fact, was a Norse woman named Sverdig. Glorious, beautiful blonde braids below her chin.
Railgun, can you promise me a kindness? And if I grow an ugly beard...
Right in the back of the head.
Will you just tell me?
Whoa.
I'll shave it. What the claws is supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
You see through his back, that little check mark wavers a little bit. Like, it starts getting redder again and then goes slightly greener once more.
Yeah, I got you. I'll make sure you look presentable.
Just tell me if it's bad to Nair. Because there was one, I had a great beard. It was so luxurious. It was blonde.
I'll be honest, like, a lot of males and females are kind of into that. And I mean, it's part of you, right? So just keep it. You're above this, so to speak.
Okay, but do you know how to take care of a beard?
Yeah, I've heard some things.
Okay. This is our flight north.
As you're just looking behind you as you're speeding forwards into the great darkness.
Try and figure out how the claws and Santas are picked.
I'm going to give her a great kindness and explain to her how in the hood, how you grow a beard.
Oh, a 5.
You 100% know that. While love of joy, love of things that make children feel joy, and a warm heart are the hallmarks of the heart of winter, especially because winter is the hardest season for humanity to overcome and therefore needs that little bit of light inside the darkness, you know that the protector is universally dictated by chance. If you hadn't taken that call, somebody else would have ended up being her protector.
I get my money.
Oh, you actually see that you already have a full 3 million added to your Swiss account.
Oh, nice.
It looks like Eddie didn't get his cut after all.
Oh, poor guy.
And you actually, speaking of Eddie, did you want to check Wi-Fi one last time before you leave civilization? Because you're on your last leg run.
I can also check on people.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm going to see if Eddie made it or not.
You go on a couple of sections of the dark web where you know your fellow supervillains tend to hang out just to avoid federal scrutiny. There is a video of a number of federal agents raiding Eddie's home, and you can see him in his old abacus costume. It's got all the different abacus beads on it, and he's squaring off with them. He's like, I'll see in hell, you stupid piggies. You'll never take me alive. And he grabs one of the abacus beads off and throws it at them, but then he gets riddled with bullets as it hits the ground and smoke starts pouring out of it.
Oh, no.
And that obscures the rest of the video feed.
That's good. It's nice that he's okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow. This is your friend and former prison cellmate.
Yo, but right now, I'm on some other
shit. He never gave you up.
I know. I'm serious. It's nice to know that he's okay. I mean, he turned to smoke when he hit the ground, right?
No. He got riddled with bullets by the...
Well, oh, no.
He threw a
snowball.
Oh, man.
No.
R.I.P. Eddie Chow, a.k.a. the abacus.
You already told him he might have died, huh?
Yeah.
Do you confirm it now?
Yeah, he's dead.
Do you want me to put the cops that shot him on the naughty list?
Yeah, because I'm going to put them on the naughty list when we're done all this. No, but you'll be fine. Yeah. Beard or no beard, your job is past looks.
wow, that's actually really kind of freeing. Yeah, my job is past looks. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I've spent since I was 16 on the internet being judged on my appearance and having a big amount of my fan base be based on my looks. And thank you, Railgun. That was really sweet.
Oh, man, I think I'm being backhanded, but now we have a very big problem. See, you being Santa Claus, in the event somebody sees you and your creepypasta still on the internet, they're going to assume that Santa Claus is a demonic person. So.
How will they recognize me if I have a beard?
Oh, you want a beard now?
I don't know if I get one, though. I don't know if it's bad or not at this point. It's been a long day.
Now, Santana, you feel as you're speeding again through the night, getting closer towards the North Pole, you feel a little bloated.
No.
Oh, snap.
I think I'm doing what they did in that movie.
Slither? When you...
Wow.
Yeah. The verbal abuse of Santa. That's what this is called.
He's the meanest mercenary you're ever going to meet your entire life.
Can I see if there are any other clauses who were this mean?
Yes, but you can.
But you do know I'm going to protect you. I have been sent.
You know, based on your connection to the Santa Force, that he gives Krampus a run for his money as far as being just one of the meanest clauses of all time. And by the way, Krampus was a literal demon. That Santa summoned it when it was time to pick a protector. He was just like, oh, I'll find one.
Did you know Krampus was a demon summoned from hell by a Santa?
Well, he did have horns, put kids in bags, and had a tail. I am pretty sure that is not something you find unless you're at Three Mile Island.
You wear a helmet that makes you look like a jalapeno and carry me around in your pocket.
You're goddamn right.
The Krampus blood runs deep.
You feel as if you're running faster the closer you get to the North Pole.
Oh, man, we're getting close.
And as you crest over the final ridge that you would have to kind of go over geographically to see the crest of the North Pole, you notice a series of semi-transparent force bubbles layered on top of one another, surrounding what you know based on the GPS readings you're picking up, even out here, to be the exact North Pole.
I actually don't even need GPS readings. I always know where true north is. I always knew where we were going. Yep.
The amount of magnetism in this area is astounding.
Do we see it because he's touching the sleigh and I'm Santa, or because he's Claus and I'm Santa, or could anybody fly over this and see the force bubbles?
You're not certain, but one thing you do see that's a little alarming is you can see in the distance behind the fields of force, it looks like a city, but there is a mass of what look like shipping vessels, trucks, flying drones, but they have something dangling from them.
I think Santa Village is under attack.
You can see the same insignia on every single drone, ship, truck, soldier's uniform. Nozama. With its famous frown. And as you're coming closer, you can see that some of the drones begin clustering around and then moving towards your location.
This is going to be a really big problem.
Is my invisibility for me or for me and my sleigh?
Extends to your sleigh.
And however, to the animals pulling it? Because they don't just see reindeer flying through the air.
It would extend to the creature pulling it.
I can turn us invisible.
Oh, they already weren't going to see me. They're drones, but I appreciate that effort. Go for it.
I'm going to blink us out.
Okay. As you cast that spell and start flying down and getting closer, you can see that Nozama has assembled a literal army here. And from what you can tell, there's a single figure leading it, wearing a massive mechanical suit.
Do I know who they are? Because I'm Santa-ish.
You don't know yet, because you're not fully Santa yet.
Yeah.
You're on the cusp of Santa-hood.
Okay.
And you can see that figure wearing the gigantic mech suit that has drones periodically buzzing around it. And after a little while, they start becoming very agitated and clomping around a lot. When you get close enough to some of the drones, you realize something pretty horrible. These are not standard flying drones. These are human beings that have been implanted, grafted, otherwise merged with a flying drone chassis.
Do I see red X's? Are any of them on the naughty list?
They have gray X's.
I think they're dead. Is that what that would mean?
Yeah. Based off of what you can tell, these are some kind of unholy combination of person and machine.
What about Mech Suit Man?
Mech Suit Man's suit is interesting because when you get closer,
you notice that there's what appear to be cabling at first running across it, but it's got too much of a weird organic look to it.
Wait, are they naughty or nice? They're also...
They're the worst.
It's
they're the worst you've ever seen.
I'm going to be like, they're worse than the vampire guy.
Oh, Jesus.
And the ninjas and the lady ninja.
And you see a number of big screams that are posted periodically around the force fields. And they say things like, Nozama loves you. Nozama is your home and only protector. All worship Chizos.
Obey.
And then you see a picture of a bald, very ugly, very stupid looking man appear on the screen of each one of these screens. And he says,
This is your commander, Biff Chizos. I want you to work harder, and if you have to fill up 5 bottles full of piss, then you go ahead and do it. That way I get my money, because I love money.
Yeah, and it's basically him complaining about how the Santa must be found.
And when you find Railgun, I want him dead.
And you see that the area that he's in, it appears there's a slight bend in the force field surrounding it, like one of the layers has opened up, and there's 2 huge inlaid circles on the ground. One of them has red berries coming out of it and like leafy shoots. And the other one is just a perfect wooden circle with a big pattern inlaid on it.
Those are like the barrier levels for the city.
You're not sure exactly what they are, but when you get closer, you see there's a woman inside the barrier staring out at him. She's wearing a long blue robe and her eyes are just black pits staring at Biff Chizos as he's pacing around and yelling and being a little like he is.
Hey. I need to park exactly 1.5 miles away from Jizzos.
I can direct us there.
All right. Hey, in that bag, I have a theory. In my head, I'm going to really, really, really wish Santa could get me the same type of shiny boots, but I need to make completely out of metal.
Can I be concentrating on what I should be giving him as a gift? Is that how the Santa bag works?
It's a theory. I don't know if it works this way, but you can give it a shot.
You can try.
Yeah, I'm going to concentrate on trying to get you a gift.
You concentrate incredibly hard on trying to get him a gift. Ultimately, you reach into the bag and you do find something in there, but it is not what you thought it was going to be. It's actually very small.
What is it?
It's a sprig of holly berries, and it's got a little tag on it that says, "To Railgun from Santa Santana."
I give you the berries. I'm sorry. This is all I can get.
How many berries?
There's 5 berries on this sprig.
Oh, do you feel like berries?
Yeah, they feel like berries.
Are they poisonous?
I eat.
Holly berries are very poisonous, yes. Typically.
I eat the berry because I have immunity to that poison.
And you're eating one of them?
Yeah. Let's not see something.
Oh, you hurl.
Blah!
It looks like he's spewing blood out of his mouth from how juicy it was.
Okay,
so I don't know why I gave him the berries.
No, it's okay.
Well, you gave them to him because they're from you.
Okay.
Yeah, you feel just gnarly.
Listen, I can only do this once. I'm going to get you as close as I can to the lady in the robes. I'm going to try and knock Jesus off his feet, and I'll deal with him. You need to get in there and go to wherever you need to go. Don't worry about me. It's my job. The way I'm going to do this is going to sound really stupid, but we're up north. No matter if it's semi-daylight, it's still cold. Decompress through magnets a certain area cold, you can get it colder. If you can make a semiconductor, you can move faster. There's no friction. I can maybe increase my speed by half and run at him at like 600 miles an hour. If he doesn't see me coming, I can knock him off his feet, which might just be enough for you to get in. Unfortunately, and I can't stress this enough, you're going to have to get small, and I'm going to have to fling you as I'm hitting him, and you're on your own.
Give me a percentile roll, please.
Yeah, see?
Not
see,
you.
Oh.
Only Santana.
See, you think this is a good idea.
Because when he's saying this to you, your Santa memory kicks in.
This happened before.
I got an 18.
You know that he does not need to fling you through the force field. You know that if you go into the force field, you will suffer horribly for it.
I don't think that the force field's bad. I shouldn't be flung through it, but I can slow him down.
You know personally what you need to do next based off of that access that you made with the Santa Force.
What do I need to do?
You need to go stand on the wooden symbol.
Can I access it? I need to get on the wood circle.
I can get you there.
I'll try and slow down the robot guy. And
No need. If I'm not flinging you, I don't need to go that fast. This is to get you there.
Yeah.
I will promise you have less than a second after that to do whatever you're doing. Good luck.
Okay, good luck to you.
Ready for your piggyback ride?
Yep. So full I out. Don't get small.
Nope.
I just
don't have time for that.
Hop on your back, I guess.
Yeah.
The wind rushing past your
He's
face.
Like, climb on, spider monkey.
Let's do this. Yeah.
For you, the wind feels much less biting than it does for poor Railgun as the two of you are traversing the Arctic tundra.
Oh, because I'm Santa cold person now.
As you are zooming, just kicking up snow and ice as you go across the plain in the tundra, you realize that the drones see you.
Of course they do. They're hybrids. That's why they're hybrids.
And several of them begin to make pursuit, and you can see little beams start emerging from their chests as they open fire on you.
Oh, man.
So I need you to... Oh, that wasn't good. That was better.
You need to dodge against a 13 and a 21, and one of them has a spectacular malfunction.
Wow. Okay, go ahead and roll the one against the 13, because that a natural 20 beats a 21 every time.
Five and five is 10. That guy hits me.
One of them is shooting and flying forwards and accidentally strikes this huge, huge icicle that's hanging down, and it just smashes directly into it after it hits it, and it starts falling in its path. Wipes it out completely. You do a perfect backflip as a beam is coming directly towards her and twist at the last moment to evade it. But as you do so, you open up your back to get hit by one of these beams fired from the other drone. It sears into your back. You take 40 points of damage as it starts undoing you on a molecular level.
At this point, I like to roll that insta-heal because that hurt.
After you get hit, you see Biff Jizzos turn and look at the location where you're coming from. But by the time he does, you're almost next to him and you deposit her directly onto the oaken circle. And you can see, even as her body starts to disappear from the circle that she's been placed on, Jizzos turns and looks down at you. And you can see that the cabling that's connecting across this thing, first of all, you do not detect metal on him.
Of course not. He's not that dumb.
Second off, they're not cords or wires. They're veins.
Mm. Ew.
Santana, as you discorporate, you realize as you're looking through the veil, you see the slightest bit of a smile form on the woman blue's face, and you transfer to a symbol that's hidden behind the force field that she was standing behind. She's standing on the circle that corresponds to the one with the holly berries coming off of it. And as she turns to you, she says,
I apologize for not being able to accompany you inside. However, my Santa has already perished.
She's a clone.
Correct. I am Madame Woe, the Claws.
I'm sorry about your loss.
Do not be sorry. He was a terrible man, and quite frankly, were I capable, I would have removed him from his role many years ago.
Oh, then congratulations.
It's not something to be happy about either. It is sad for the world. Unfortunately, the last Santa became corrupted by corporate interests.
Oh.
He forced the elves to stop manufacturing so that other corporations could take the place of him giving toys out around the world, but they of course charged money for it. After a point, people stopped believing in the Santa. Now, I cannot escort you inside, but you must go to the room with the black door handle.
Okay, just can you help take care of my claws?
She shakes her head a little bit. She says,
he is not your Claws yet, though he has accompanied you here. He has not accepted the responsibility. Anyone who is first to step on the circle of Holly, once you have passed your trial, will become your protector.
I feel like that's really important knowledge for him to have.
Too bad, because right now me and...
You know Jizzos. What?
Jizzos, that guy.
Biff Jizzos.
I'm calling him Biff from now on.
Or as I like to call, dumb bastard.
Does anybody have a phone?
She shakes her head and she says,
I have no means to contact the elves. The last Santa sealed them off from the rest of the pole.
Do I have to be Santa to unseal them?
Yes.
What if the bad guy gets on the stand?
Well, then he will be your protector.
And then she leans down and whispers something in your ear.
Oh, does her name strike any bells for me? Oh my God, that's Santa. Does it ring any of my bells?
It does. You have many memories of Madame Woe because she's been serving in her position based off what you can tell from the Santa Force for almost 70 years.
Mm.
She is an extraordinarily talented martial artist. specifically focused on a martial arts style known as the Yin Nail.
Do I feel like obligated to apologize to her for all the stuff I did when I was the previous Santa?
You don't, because okay. That previous Santa was a piece of and that's just part of the Santa force.
Okay. I'm really scared to go in because I'm scared that someone else is going to stand on there. I guess I'm just going to have to trust that Railgun can... He doesn't even know he has to get on the dais.
He doesn't. And when she disappears and you see her appear behind the force field, Biff Jizzos wheels around at you in his massive semi-organic war suit.
Point to the Holly Berry circle? Because there's nothing to connect it right now.
I would
now.
Almost have to make a perception roll and percentile and not...
I would make him make an IQ check on that.
Ooh, okay. It's like 15.
So roll a percentile die under 15 or under.
I'm going to point to him. I'm going to point to the Holly Berry circle.
Jesus Christ, I'm dumb.
You got a 98, sir.
Yeah.
Like, so I need to stay away from that circle.
I better not get on that circle, no matter whatever I do.
Okay, so I'm just going to have to trust in Winter for this one, and I'm going to go inside.
As Santana ventures inside to the Lodge of Santa, Railgun, you find yourself toe to mechanical toe with the monstrosity that is Biff Jizzos, owner of Nozama, the largest corporation in the world. He looks down at you with that ugly, stupid face of his, and you can see that he doesn't look right. He's had things done to his body, clearly, because you can tell those veins go into him. He is at one with the suit. He says,
"Yeah, I'm really gonna enjoy crushing you underneath my feet. And then I'm gonna kill that lady standing on that circle. And then I'm gonna kill that Santa."
But I don't understand. You love money, right?
Of course, that's why I'm gonna do it all.
I don't understand. Why would you attack Christmas?
Of course you don't understand. You're not the smartest person in the world like me.
That's
if
crazy.
If I take over the entire winter season, that means everything has to come through Nozama. All gifts, everything that goes to every man, woman, and child for the holiday season comes through my company. I'll be more than the richest man in the world. I'll be the most powerful man in the world. And I'll be the spirit of winter.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Boxing Day, people who do not even recognize Christmas. So you're cutting yourself out of all those to just get a little small piece of the pie, and I'm the dumb one. Gotcha, buddy. And bam.
Make an initiative roll first.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to do an initiative roll. Yeah. Ooh.
Well, I got a 7 for him total.
Oh, 17 plus.
Yeah, yeah, you go first, but you also see vehicles and soldiers and everything else in the area starting to mobilize towards your position. So what is your plan since you have the initiative?
I did have a question. How long does it take me to reload?
One action. You're that fast.
All right, so if I have one action to reload, could I do a movement action?
You can move about 30 feet.
30 feet?
Yeah. You don't get to move very far when you're doing something else, but you have excessive amounts of movement, right. So I'm giving you a little bit to be
You still have the special bullets?
I'm going to have to spend a turn reloading to actually put in the special bullets. I do have those. I know damn well I kept them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you dump both your regular clips and slam the rest of those triad clips inside right. there.
I'm going to start moving in a circle.
Jizzos is the first one to go of the Nozama forces, and you can see as he levels one of his arms towards you as he's watching you move around, in his pupils, there's a red coloration to them as you're looking at them. As he sticks his arm out, these large, gross holes appear in his forearm where the plating matches up with the skin. He fires several wriggling projectiles at you from the apertures in his biomechanical gauntlet. They are guided. You can see each one has a little eye stalk at the front of it.
Ew.
And a little tail that's propelling it and changing its direction in the air as they flap. Give me a dodge roll. You only need a 7 or an 8 to get out of the way, and you have automatic dodge. Yeah, so as they explode into the tundra, you can see it's some sort of bio acid as they explode because it just starts eating.
I'm not deviating from my circle path, though. If I'm dodging, it's still in that same thing. So they actually blew up. Looks kind of nice. Okay, that's gross.
And you come under fire. One of the big trucks fires a pulse laser cannon at you. You need a 7 to avoid that. You got it without even having to add your bonus to it. Yeah. And two of the soldiers that are nearby fire at you with their rifles. They're not nearly as big as the pulse laser cannon that's gone. Okay, so you need to beat a 15 and an 8. Nat 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first one, you duck and it actually hits the truck.
Thank goodness for that plus five.
Yeah, that plus five saved your butt. So as you're coming back down, you almost get hit by another shot as you're trying to dodge, but you just drop at the last second and it misses you.
Oh, God.
All right, running man, what are you doing?
I'm then going to start moving at full speed, running around in a circle as fast as I can while shooting at the ground. I'm going to actually drop the whole thing in the water because where we're at is right above water. It's not solid ground whatsoever.
How it's deep is the water. Ice?
Well, these are radioactive rounds and they're going to keep on shooting at me. They're damaging their own thing. They all weigh a ton. So I'm going to essentially friction circle, drop them down because I don't think strength-wise I'm ever going to damage that suit.
Okay, you start plugging away at the ice under your feet. You've got some serious force on these rad rounds, even though you're firing them through a silencer, just because of the fact that you've got a raw piece of radiation sitting on the ice. It's going to get a little warm. You actually see little trails of steam coming up where it's starting to melt through some of the permafrost, but it's going to take a little bit. You think it might even take the rest of the radiation bullets you have to pull this off. So this plan doesn't seem like it's going to work quickly.
I'm going to clip out all the way down to 3 shots.
So since you're not directly attacking anybody, I want you to give me 10 dodge rolls.
Oof, I'm going to die. It was nice knowing you.
Hold on, I'll tell you what the numbers are. Oh, God, that's a good start for you.
Somebody got a 20. It's the law of averages.
Okay, well, that averaged out too, though, because I immediately then rolled a 1 after it. So as you're running and continuing to fire into the permafrost and you're on the friction of your feet moving around it is also starting to warm it up, you're making an easy target of yourself for these folks.
Yeah.
Several of the drones fire and 2 laser strikes come close enough that you need to dodge them. One is a 22 and one is a 23.
This is auto dodge or dodge?
Well, if you don't auto dodge, you'll lose actions. So it'll make it take even longer to fire through. That one will do it. You got a 23 on the first one.
Nice.
So you need a 19.
Don't did it. God damn
on
it.
No, you got a 2 on that one.
Oh.
Plus
oh,
no. 5. So that was 7.
Oh,
so another laser rips into you. You get lucky, though. It just grazes the side of your leg, and you see a massive burn wound just appear at super fast speed on your leg. But it sends you stumbling sideways into another volley of those acid explosives, and that's what I rolled the 20 on. You have to get a natural 20 to dodge it.
There's
no nothing, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You have a 5% chance to totally ace this.
Nope, not today. That was horrible.
As those things hit you squarely in the gut, the bioacid showers all over your body, and you take 60 points of damage as you can feel your skin burning and bubbling underneath of it.
Ooh.
And there's 2 more attacks you have to survive for this trick to work. 2 laser pulse cannon shots from vehicles. They have gunners on top, so they're not subject to your cloaking, unfortunately. For that one, here's the thresholds you need. You need a 15 and a 13. That's an 11.
Nope, I make it. Christmas is bad this year, y'all. How much?
The laser pulses hit low.
Over my balls.
Around your thighs.
Okay.
And you feel just the worst searing pain you've ever experienced in your life as you fire your last shots into the permafrost and then start flying forwards because you realize your legs have been cut off by the beam that came from the last shot from the vehicle. You plunge down into the icy Arctic water as the permafrost begins to collapse around you. And for what it's worth, you take out a decent portion of the ice sheet around the area. There's only a couple of drones and Biff Jizzos not getting dumped in the water in about a 100-yard so radius
around
you.
Biff wasn't even in it?
No, he wasn't. He got out of the way in time.
Oh.
And the last things that you feel as the cold really starts to get bad is that you tried your best. And then it gets dark.
Oh, God. Mm.
Santana, you're going through this home and you're in a long, narrow hallway. You don't think it's normally like this. In fact, you imagine countless configurations of it before as the Santa Force just sparks in your brain. And as you're walking, you see all these different rooms, and you know their functions at this point. One of them is Santa's private study. Another is the Claus's kitchen. You have various rooms, but You know that the one that you need to find is Santa's thinking room, and it's at the very end of the hallway.
Okay, I'm going fast as I can.
As you run down to the end of the hallway, it seems to dilate for a moment, but then you manage to reach the door eventually, mm-hmm. and the handle on it is ice cold. As you turn it and open it up, you walk in, you see what appears to be just a gigantic mirror limbed in big, long crystals that look like stalactites and stalagmites that just gently pulsate in different colors. They're very wintry kind of colors. And as you see yourself in the mirror, you realize you're looking at a photo negative of yourself. As you walk into the room, the door closes behind you and disappears into the wall.
Okay.
Okay. You want to know a secret?
No.
I'm going to tell you anyway.
Then why'd you ask?
Well, I figured it would be funny if, you know, you said you did and then I told you something awful, but just looks like you're really going to try and stonewall me on that. This isn't going to be as much fun as I thought already, but, you know, we'll work it out.
A portion of the image shifts and you see poor Railgun surrounded by Nozama forces and Biff Jizzos, and he's desperately firing at the ground around him as he runs in a circle. You see him get shot multiple times during the process of this, and just as the ice is buckling underneath of him and takes out a big grouping of the Nozama employees and everything, he gets cut in half by a laser blast.
Oh, I start crying. That's really sad. I like Railgun. I thought he had some main rough edges, but I figured over time he'd be on the good list.
So, sad, sorry, Santana. Why do you want to be the Santa?
What do I know about the Santa? Because the Spirit of Winter is a very vague concept.
You know that specifically the Santa is a benevolent winter spirit that tries to spread joy and love and a sense of community through the darkest portions of the year. Mm-hmm. Isn't bound by a particular religion, although Christianity kind of co-opted them and the title sometime in the thousands, especially with the eradication of paganism and everything. But you know that it's generally just nice people that get it because they want to make the world a better place.
I want to be the Santa because somebody has to be. And it may as well be somebody who's going to do their best to try and make the world a better place. And I know I am that person.
You see the polar opposite figure of you roll their eyes and they go, see, I told you it wasn't going to be a fun experience because I was honestly expecting a long, drawn-out, torturing scene of you. And you're just... you're not giving me anything. Do you know how many people I brought to like the edge of mental collapses? And maybe I'm just having an off day. I'm not particularly certain.
I mean, it's been a while and I did cry when you showed me Railgun.
You did. It was delicious to see you, do that cry. Too. I mean, did I do good on that?
It was pretty devastating.
Okay. All right. Yes. Look, the last guy, he was a psychopath, man. Like, that guy was stone cold crazy. And I don't mean in like mental illness way, because that's unfair to people that are mentally ill.
Yeah, it seems like something may have gone wrong with the whole selection process.
Yeah, I was so nice to him the whole time I was doing this whole harrowing thing because I couldn't help myself. I'm like a negative reflection of you, so.
And he was so negative, you had to be positive?
Exactly.
It had to be really hard. Like, that's like pretending to be something you're not.
Finally, somebody can appreciate this. It's been almost like half a year that I've been waiting to hear this. Thank you. That's all I needed was a little bit of validation. You passed the test.
Oh, thank you.
What do you think Santa looks like in your mind's eye? How their dress would be?
Oh, like outfit-wise?
Mm-hmm.
I always liked the thick red floor-length robe look. It always looked really cozy. So I imagine something very cozy and warm-looking.
As you imagine that, your body is wreathed in an outfit just like you had envisaged.
Like one of the big hoods that you can pull over?
Correct.
Yeah.
You feel your body expand a little bit, but completely proportionally. You just feel like you grow a little bit to better occupy the shape of the outfit that you're taking on.
Okay.
So you're a bit taller and also a bit larger physically.
Mm-hmm.
You feel just the healthiest you've ever felt in your entire life. You feel hale as a horse. And you know everything about being Santa now, at least theoretically. You still have to go out and do it, and that's hard. But you also know a couple more Santa tricks as you finally apotheose. As the room fades, you realize you're back in the hallway, but you feel so different. As you start walking, but you can see in the distance through the open doorway to Santa's lodge that the force field has gone down as Biff Jizzos has gone and stood on the holly circle.
And I don't see Railgun.
You don't see Railgun.
But I do see the hole in the ice.
You see the hole in the ice. And as soon as the force field drops, You see Madame Woe raise her hand up and black tendrils of energy lash out from where her fingers were and fly out and hit Biff Jizzos directly in the chest.
But he was on the holly.
He was on the holly. So she was standing on the other holly circle.
Oh, so which one's the claws?
At this point, you know, based on your full connection to the Santa Force, the only way for a protector to take their spot is for them to kill the previous protector or force them into a place where they submit.
How far away am I?
You're maybe 100 feet away.
Do I have to stay on my disc?
No.
No? Okay, no. I'm going to run closer.
Okay, as you start running closer, they start fighting. And now we're going to cut back.
There's a warm sensation that spreads out of the pocket where you'd slip that sprig of holly berries into.
Oh.
Even as you plunge into the depths, a warm reddish light surrounds you, and you can see through a massive hole in the ice as you are just vaguely hanging on to consciousness, your legs still missing and pain still throbbing through your body. What looks like a big line dropping down and loosely snagging the outfit that you're wearing and pulling you upwards towards...
Oh my God, I thought you were dead. I was so sad this whole time. I've been so sad.
In my head, the song from Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, Little Boy, You're Going to Hell, is definitely playing in my head because I'm pretty sure I'm dead right now.
Well, if you're going to hell, you're going in a weird direction because you get hoisted upwards instead of downwards. And as you're pulled up through the hole and your waterlogged half of a body is dropped onto the ice and snowpack that is very hard here, you see two figures leaning over you and one murmurs to the other. He goes, yeah, he's still alive. Okay, perfect. And then you hear,
oh, goddamn.
And as your eyes clear a little bit, you can see one figure is fairly diminutive, like 3.5-4 feet tall, maybe. And they are wearing a latex gimp suit.
Pause. What? Okay, keep going.
Keep going. You gotta keep with the, I need to know the whole outfit first.
The other figure looks to be about twice the size of this smaller figure. They have a very epicene cast to them, but their hair is neatly parted to the side, and they're wearing big, thick glasses, a business suit style of dress, and they're carrying a tennis racket.
Wait, they have a what look to them?
Epicene, like an ape. And as they're talking to one another, the smaller one says, yeah, we can take him back and revive him. And the bigger one goes,
double cheese, double mayo.
Oh, you know what? I don't have the mental capacity for this today. Yeah, my legs.
The figure that's wearing the full gimp outfit leans down and sticks a ball gag in your mouth. Says, all right, Bommy, go ahead and grab what's left of him and let's get him back to the lab so I can stitch him up. Yeah, he's probably going to take almost all the juice we have left, but I mean, it's the last thing that we can do.
I'm so angry.
You are hauled into what seems to be some kind of an operating table, and you are given what feels like maybe the most powerful narcotic you've ever been dropped in your entire life.
They finally
put a mask over your face, and it's this peppermint-flavored gas that just hits you in the most perfect way possible. As you start drifting off, you see the big epicene thing in the suit grab what looks like a gigantic candy cane, but the swirls on it are spinning around and pulsating. And as you're strapped down with your arms to the table, they raise it over their head and jam it down directly into your chest.
What the hell?
There is a riotous explosion in your brain. And you see all of the children all across the entirety of the world and other parts of the Megaverse who are relying on the Santa for help. And you feel a warmth suffuse and flood through your body.
His heart grew 3 sizes that day.
No?
No, it wasn't my heart.
It wasn't his heart. It was the area where his legs were missing as the bones started painfully regrowing themselves.
Definitely the pain.
It feels like you just got injected with a mix of pure cocaine and Red Bull. Your eyes surge open and shift from an orange color to a red and green. You feel intimately connected to the magnetic poles at this point. Your physical strength becomes supernatural. The range of all of your powers increases by 50%, including your speed, so you can now run at 480 miles per hour.
Yay. I'm going to
better, faster, stronger than before.
Oh, my legs. Am I even able to get up yet?
You are able to get up. At this point, you're feeling incredibly minty.
Oh. I don't know how I feel about all that.
And as you get up off of the table, the one in the gimp suit kind of waddles over to you and says, "Name's Hermanoidus.
Nice to meet you.
That over there, Abominable Corny."
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, that Jizzos guy has been hanging out here for like 3 days now, and he's just the biggest pain in the ass in the entire world. He won't leave us alone. He keeps trying to take down the force field. You can't take down the force field without magic or doing the ritual, so I don't know what he's trying to accomplish, but it's nice to meet you. I'm the sexologist for the elves.
Yeah, I'm not shaking that hand.
They look down at the gore on their hands and realize that they're covered in your blood from where they were trying to save your life. So as they go to wash off, they say,
"Ever since that idiot last Santa took over, we've been enslaved. We've been forbidden from making toys, and we can't reproduce if we don't."
Well, all right, there should be a new Santa. I'm pretty sure she'll let you make toys.
His new Santa, I mean, if that was the case, then the force field would go. And as soon as that, the force fields outside drop that you can see. And immediately you see Biff Jizzos and that woman that was standing in the circle start brawling. She is initially kicking the shit out of him, by the way. She had been waiting for apparently the last 3 days straight for him to finally get through. Yeah, unfortunately, you see the Nozama forces closing in on her, and they just start firing and attacking and shelling, and there's so many of them that she just starts getting hit over and over again. Go ahead and roll for initiative, because you're both back in action at this point. Okay. You've got an additional +3 on your initiative now, so that's a 26.
13.
Yeah. No!
Is that a 1? That smells like a 1. Ooh, Biff.
Even with the abilities that he's getting from potentially inheriting the protectors, he's just not that fast. Railgun, you watch as before you can react, this woman kicks at him and shatters one of the side plates on one of his legs.
He's distracted. This should be easy. I'm going to hurl one of the balls at him from that distance. 15.
One of the drones is buzzing around. You see as the drone catches sight of the projectile you launch. Yeah. Even as he's dodging a blow from her, he steps back and the projectile very nearly slams into the woman that's fighting him instead. Yeah, he's still a threat. And from there we go to Santa.
So how close am I now? I've been running out of the building.
You would be at this point about 50 feet away from him because your speed also increases to 24.
So there's him and her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the machines.
And soldiers.
Okay.
Yeah.
How close are they to me?
The soldiers, they're within a couple hundred feet of the main fight, but not trying to get too close because of the massive sinkhole. And
how many are any other people close to the main fight?
Other than Railgun, I mean, who's still a fair distance away.
I am going to target the naughtiest boy in that group, and I am going to target him with Speed of the Snail.
Okay, so he has made a save against magic. It'll be a 15 now because you are the Santa. I got a 3 on his roll +5, so he got 8. All of a sudden, you see Biff Jizzos go from being like a powerhouse dynamo in his genetically engineered / mechanically engineered armor to moving slow as paste. Whatever just happened to him caused his reflexes to fail.
Do I see Railgun at this point?
You do. He has a big green check right across him.
Oh, I am so happy. I'm going to move closer, but around. So I'm not moving directly towards the fight, but I want to try and move closer to the machines and stuff.
You start doing that and you hear him going, "Why?"
You've been very naughty this year.
He brings one of his claw-like metallic hands up and tries to swing it down on the woman that he's squaring off against. And it's just like molasses.
Oof.
Ooh. He still clocks her, though. His suit and genetic enhancements are that good at this point. And he crashes that claw directly into her chest. You can see blood blossom out, but it's a thick, viscous black substance. And she just laughs as more starts shooting out and more and more. And it covers the suit that he is wearing.
Uh-oh.
Is he magnetic now?
He is not.
Oh, okay, good.
No. He is, however, covered in viscera as she has detached her spine and her internal organs from the rest of her lower body, and you see massive fangs coming out of her mouth. She is what is known as a Penegalan.
Wait, are they the demon women that
separate from their lower torsos and fly around?
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. And she starts tearing and rending as hard as possible against his armor and peeling portions of it off. Railgun. He's not paying attention to you at this point. He is more concerned about the person that just covered him in her own guts and started constricting him.
That's the reason why I kept those three shots, because I kept on saying I only wanted to keep three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll put one in his head.
Now, since you're aiming for the head, you only get a +2 on the roll from that. Actually, you'll want to use one action to get close enough, because pistols don't have that long range.
Ah, true.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to make those shots on your next action.
How far am I from the drones and stuff now?
They're like 200 feet away from you now, as you're edging closer and closer towards them. By the way, you will now have, instead of 2 combats and 3 non-combats, you will have 5 combats. Santa knows hand-to-hand basic. Santa may not want to fight, but Santa knows how to throw down if the necessity hits.
Just in case.
Okay, I spent 1 round running.
Yeah, 1 round running and 2 actions to cast Speed of the Snail. So you have 2 actions left.
Okay. I'm going to turn myself invisible.
Invisibility superior?
Uh-huh.
That'll use up the last 2 actions of your round.
But I'm in range of the drones and stuff, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go invisible.
Okay, so you disappear.
So I'm done for this combat session.
Yeah.
I'm going to disappear, and if I can, like, 5-foot adjust or whatever, not be standing exactly in the
same spot. No, we're going to assume that you're moving a little bit as you're going through.
Slowly walking away.
Mm-hmm. Railgun, you see 2 drones fire at you. You need to give me a 15 and a 9. But you have a +8 on your automatic dodge now.
15.
Okay.
20.
Oh, wow. Okay, the first one you dodge just in the nick of time, and the second one, you see the bolt coming. At this point, you can actually watch the light beam kind of move across your vision for half a second, and crazy. That buys you more than enough time to get out of the way.
Crazy.
And you see the Pentagolin, Madame Wo, the former protector of Santa, is still just tearing at Biff Jizzos's face and other body parts, although she seems like she's in a bit of dire straits at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a cap him.
Okay, you're aiming for the head?
Yeah. 16.
Okay, no, you just roll the 1 for both shots, and let's see. He's got a +5. Roll for your damage.
That's 8d6, right?
Mm-hmm.
26.
You see a big, ugly wound open up in the back of Biff Jizzos' head. He's not dead, but he staggers a little bit as you strike him in the back of the head. You can see small pink brain inside of his large skull cavity. Looks like almost like a dinosaur.
He can even take radiation shots.
Yeah, and as he whirls around, you see that there's a little bit of bloody drool coming out of his mouth as he staggers sideways for a moment.
And he's at only a third of his actions now.
Yeah.
Snail.
He can't do anything else. 2 more drones come after you, but at this point, the soldiers look freaked out. One of the vehicles shoots at you as well.
Oh.
So, you got to beat a 23 on that pulse laser shot with an 8 or better.
Those vehicles, man, they're out for you.
Got 10 plus.
Okay, so that's an 18. So you get caught by one of the vehicles. Let's see about the drones. And there was a 21 and a nat 20 on the 2 drones.
Nope. And no.
Okay. So you take 3 hits. Your armor is blasted off of your body. Perhaps it's part of the giant weird peppermint infusion you got, but as you get hit by these lasers, you realize your skin is far tougher than it had been previously. There's little tiny burns that look like you got a rope burn or something like that instead of getting hit by the lasers. You have an additional 350 SDC to your maximum base SDC because I rolled randomly on a generator on my computer. Your mega hero trait, well, mega villain, ? Who knows, is tremendous SDC.
Lucky.
469.
Because nice. You have now become what is known as a mega villain. Or mega hero. Maybe you're a mega tweener at this point. Because you're kind of a bad
mega
boy.
Mega claws.
Yeah. So that didn't hurt nearly as much as they had hoped that was going to hurt.
How much was it?
190 points of damage total to you. You're nude, FYI. Your suit was incinerated by laser blast. You have a strip of fabric covering your waist, and that's about it.
Nah, take that off.
Okay, you just pull on it as you're running.
Yep.
You're like, it's time.
It's definitely time.
Nude railgun. You see laughing as she's squeezing, and you can see that it's wrapped around his neck, the viscera in her, as she's biting at his chest. She's like, finish it!
One shot, one head. F*** it. It's the one that says prayers.
Okay, make that attack roll. That's a 10.
Yeah.
You hit him in the back of the neck with this one.
It's hot radiation. Just die already. Die, old man, die.
So roll for your damage. 4d6. It'll be plus 2 because it's rad bullets.
14, 15, 16.
You hit lower than when you hit the first time and clipped off part of his skull, but you see the bullet go directly into the junction where his brain meets his spinal column. As that happens, Madame Woe's viscera constricts even more and pops his head off like a grape as his brain comes spraying out of the top of it.
Well, does all of his machines die like in the movies?
They slump down. And the soldiers immediately start running away as, like, some of the drones start crashing to the ground. You can see that as his big mechanical body pitches forward, it lands on top of Madame Woe.
Oh.
I run to see if she's okay.
As you go over there, she starts laughing again. She points at this point to Railgun, and she curls one of her fingers and then points down at the Holly Circle.
If you step in the Holly Circle, it'll make you the claws for real.
Oh, okay, cool. I step in it.
As you step in it, you feel an icy rush of coldness wash over
you. Do I get close? Because my d*** is kind of flapping in the wind right now. Thank you.
Yeah,
you are. I was going to reach in my bag and try and grab you some clothes.
Get some a onesie, something. It's bad.
The outfit that you get is a white version of your suit with green and red trim.
Word.
The blades that detach from your forearms to make the little guard things have candy cane stripings on them. And there's little tiny bells arrayed all across the front of your costume. They're magnetic spheres. And they have little tiny buttons on each one. Not only do they jingle, but if you throw them, they'll magnetically adhere to metal stuff and explode.
I run up and give him a hug. Because I thought you were dead. They showed me that you died.
As you're embracing, Madame Woe turns to a reddish-green mist and starts floating away.
Is she still alive, though?
Well, she was an undead to begin with, so you're not sure.
Thank you to her as she leaves, because she didn't have to give up her spot, and also, like, she really helped keep bad guy at bay.
So,
Biff Jizzos, you mean?
Yes.
Biff
Jizzos. So, I get you by your shoulders. I look you deep in your eyes. I pull you close. And finally, after all this time in this game, I still don't like this gig, but I'm really glad you're Santa, so I guess I'm your protector.
I'm really glad you're my claws. I thought I was going to have to kill Biff, and I thought I was going to have her.
It's okay. It's okay. I will say this much. There's a elf in a gimp outfit. You need to have them start making toys. That is paramount.
You can see
dozens
of malnourished, sickly-looking elves with their little gray skin and sad, worn clothing out, and they've got the biggest, widest baby eyes, and they look at you and they say, Santa.
So there's a room called Claus's Kitchen, but I don't know how you feel about cooking. Would you mind if I went and helped get some of these elves some food? Because sounds like it's your room.
But I mean, I guess with the spirit, using my magnetic powers, the lettering, I push the metal back out and then I replace it with the words Holly and Jolly.
That's a Christmas miracle.
I almost wanted to shoot an elf in the just now, just to prove a point.
I know. She's like, he shoots Santa. He's like, I tried it and I couldn't.
I just can't. It's my job to protect
her. Or it's a winter miracle.
And as midnight tolls, turning the day into Leon Day, the day farthest away from Christmas time, Santa Santana and her protector, Railgun Claus, find themselves with a whole lot of work to do. They want to make sure that this year is going to be the best Christmas possible.
Whoa, voice in the sky, time out. So my job is to protect her. I'm going to Belize. Yeah, you got a lot of work to do, Santa. You need me? Holler.
Megaverse is copyright and registered trademark owned by Palladium Books. Heroes Unlimited, Triax, and Triax Industries are trademarks of Palladium Books Incorporated and Kevin Sumbaida. Used with permission. If you want to know more about Heroes Unlimited RPG or Palladium's host of other amazing role-playing games, you can find them all at www.palladiumbooks.com or wherever fine RPG products are sold. Our theme song, Silent Night, Unholy Night, was composed by the incredibly talented Alexander Nakarada and is used under an extended license that includes sync licensing. You can find this tune and all of his amazing compositions at www.serpentsoundstudios.com. Santana, you are currently flying your sleigh over Louisiana and heading towards a very specific location. The Ultramax prison of Gramercy Island, right off of the coast of Louisiana.
Yes, because this is a test run. Christmas is coming, and I have a lot to do on that night. So I have worked with the elves to kind of figure out how to get the sleigh going. We've got the animals pulling it, and we are in the air.
What animals are pulling it, by the way?
Pit bulls.
I love it. That's
and
wonderful.
And sweaters, because sometimes they don't like the cold.
Yeah, they don't want them getting chilly. Yes. They're just big old blockheads. As you see massive searchlights sweeping around this gigantic island prison, incredibly high-tech island prison, how are you going to approach?
Invisibly.
So you're going to use invisibility superior on the sleigh?
On the sleigh, myself, and my doggies.
Oh, yeah. Because it, once again, as we established, affects the dogs.
Yes. So I'm going to do that. That way it's supposed to keep me invisible to pretty much anything that can see me. And so we'll do that and go down. And then I'm just going to try and get as close as I can to the person I'm delivering a gift to. Because I'm assuming from what I can see from up here, not only is my target there, but there are very few people on the nice list.
Oh, yeah. As you're touching down on the rooftop of this place, since you managed to get past the electronic sensors and everything just fine, you can see a field of red X's contained within cells throughout this place. You could almost map where the cell blocks were based off of the red X's. One or two of the signatures are actually so horrible they make your eyes hurt.
Okay, can I avoid those ones while I go to the person I'm delivering to?
One of them is relatively close to that person, so you're going to have to kind of bear with that. And unfortunately for you, it is the absolute worst one that you've ever seen. You think Satan might work here.
Awesome. I'm going to comfort my dogs, because dogs can sense evil.
They can. They whine just a little bit as you leave them on the top of the roof. And you locate the 3-inch around drainage spout that you plan on taking down to the section that you need to get into.
Okay, so I'm going to shrink down to my small size. I have my sack on my side. Mm-hmm. I'm in the long red coat with the hood pulled up and like knee-high leather boots. And then like those pants that are like either like really, really thick leggings or really thin wool pants.
They're almost like sweats, but they don't have like the...
But they're tighter. They're yeah. more like kind of a little closer, but have that little bag that goes over the knee. And then probably like a tunic top underneath. But she's going to go down to her tiny size. And then she's going to jump over the space and then levitate herself and then de-levitate down the pipe.
As she starts reaching the area where some of the IR and other sensors are for these specific purposes... Her invisibility holds as she manages to levitate down through the sensors. Ironically, this prison was built more to keep people inside than it was to keep people from getting in.
Yeah.
Now, as you land in a hallway, you can see that there's one major problem right now that you may have to deal with at some point. Your invisibility extends to pretty much everything but scent. And you can see that there are several armored guards with what appear to be two armored attack dogs patrolling this hallway that you have to go through to get to the area you need to be in.
So I'm going to ignore the puppies until if they start coming my way, I'm going to use repel animals on them. It's not going to hurt them. It's just going to make them figure there's something more important somewhere else, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll do that if they seem to notice me.
They do seem to notice you at first, but as you cast that spell, they immediately start alerting and pointing in a different direction and start pulling their handlers away from the doorway that you need to get to.
Okay, so I'm going to probably scurry down the hall to reach that door. Check and see, are the guards and the dogs all gone or can they see?
They can't see you currently. They are all gone. They go okay. running off to kind of placate the dogs.
Out of character, I think I have a power to unlock doors, don't I?
Oh, yeah, escape.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to become large again. Or I would have become large as I was running down the hall.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would have taken me forever.
Yeah, you'd still be running at this point because you'd be whittle.
Okay, so I'm going to, as my normal sized self, I'm going to be invisibly at the door. And then I'm going to cast Escape on the door or myself.
You would cast it on the door and you hear the door unlatches as you do so.
Okay. And then I'm going to... The door is not, like, it's not a cell door.
It's not a cell door, no.
It's like an office door.
It looks more like an office door at this point, which is a little bit strange because this is a prison. But, I mean, who knows what, you didn't even realize that the person that you were visiting was somebody you'd be visiting until you saw their name in the book.
Yeah, so I and it's not like Santana knows a lot about prisons.
No.
She knows what, like, was on Pink is the New Blue, but other than that, she has no idea. So... She's going to go ahead and cast Escape, slip inside, shut the door behind her, and then see what she sees.
As you slip inside, you see a probably middle-aged Asian man sitting at a desk. He's clean-shaven, looks to be maybe 5'7", 5'8", fairly thin. And as he sees the door open and turns to look away from the massive wall of computer screens that he's looking at, he turns up and he says, "Well, I can't believe it. Santana. How are you doing?"
Eddie! Santana's going to clap her hands. She never met Eddie, but she's aware that Eddie was how everything got arranged for her to become Santa. So being the Santa wasn't the bad part of everything that happened in becoming the Santa. So she doesn't blame him for any of that. So she's going to like clap her hands and be like, "Yeah, I wanted to say thank you. And also, you're on the nice list." And she's going to reach into her burlap sack and pull out a present for him.
Eddie gets up from his desk and looks kind of shocked. And he's wearing just a simple white shirt, like a pair of black slacks, belt. He looks very much every bit like the accountant that he could have been if he hadn't decided that being a supervillain was a thing. And as he walks over to you and takes the package from you, he says, "Well, based on what you're dressed up like right now, I can see that you ended up getting a new job out of the whole adventure. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about it? I kind of ended up getting out of the loop at the end of it."
You missed the best part. So I think Santana's going to take a seat at the desk and pull back her hood, and her hair is fully white. Her tan is gone because Santa magic got rid of that because she became what she looks like or thinks that she would look like as a Santa, which apparently is a powerful white-haired woman. I think she's going to run them through the adventure, like the way one would if they were summarizing the entire podcast.
He takes a couple of breaks during it just to comment on some things. And you can tell by the end of it, he seems a little frustrated. He's like, "You know, I tried to do everything possible for Railgun. I'm his logistics man, but sometimes he just decided that he had better ideas than I did. I mean, I could have told him how to kill a vampire." I literally know it.
Well, that's actually the other reason I'm here, Eddie. Managing the holiday season is a lot, and we could really use a logistics person. And I had the elves dig into some of like the Railgun's jobs before, because I was just kind of curious with the methodologies that I saw, how he'd been so successful, and all signs kind of pointed at you as being a major factor. So I know you have a job right now, but she's going to pull a business card out of one of her pockets, because she's got a coat of many pockets. And I think she's going to put it down and slide it across to him, and it'll be a way for him to contact her. And she'll be like, "If you are looking for a new job," and she's going to glance around. I'm feeling like the big red X's are pulsating on all the edges of her vision.
Oh yeah, you can actually, the most horrible X that you've ever seen, the one that was near this office, you can actually feel it moving and walking down the corridor.
Yeah, she's going to slide it over and be like, "If you ever want a new job where you're not as around as many dangerous elements, you always have one with me. You know, I just don't want to see you on the naughty list again."
He gives you a big toothy smile. He says, "Well, Santana," or I guess it's just Santa now, huh?
It's Santa Santana, but that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody that speaks Spanish, that one's kind of funny, huh?
It is.
You know, unfortunately, at this point in time, what I'm trying to do here is more... Look, I've never been a weapons person, but a Black Ops arm of the government has effectively handed me about a half dozen loaded guns, all of which I'm responsible for making sure don't end up taking out civilians or anything like that.
I think recent events have taught me that as much as you might be a good person and as much as you may believe that the person that you're believing in could be a good person, or could at least have their destructiveness aimed in a different direction that could do ultimate good, sometimes that just doesn't work out. Sometimes you have to be okay with that. And I think sometimes it's worth separating yourself from that vision if it means that you're going to become a bad person because of it.
Well, I'll make you a deal. I'll give it a college try here, and if things don't really work out to my satisfaction, I'll be making sure to get in contact with you sooner rather than later.
That's perfect, Eddie. I don't want to pressure you, and honestly, I hope you can do some good. It'd be nice to see some better people over here. Be very, very careful. I think she's going to glance and see. Is that red, the Borstead Red X con?
It's gone down the hallway now. You can actually tell where it is still. It's so bad, you can see it through the walls.
Watch out for whoever it was that just left.
Since you have no idea how insane or evil that woman is, personally, I'm hoping that she ends up getting hit by machine gun fire on her next little outing.
Yeah, just be very careful, okay?
Since, have you heard from Railgun recently?
I heard he went to Belize. Well, that's where he was headed when he left. Apparently, running away is also walking away from the claws, so... Also, if you know of anyone who might be a good candidate, now that you kind of know the whole story, could you send them my way? I'm actually looking to interview.
He says, well, I've got your contact information. Give me a little bit of time, and I'm going to come up with a short list of some people that I would give you good recommendations for.
Yeah, they just need to be people who want to add a little good to the world and don't mind having to be the heavy to do so.
I think I have a couple of real good candidates.
Great. Well, I have to get going, Eddie, because my pups are on the roof waiting for me. But I just realized he'll have no concept of what she's talking about.
No, but he smiles.
unless he heard about like a pit bull bust that happened, like a dog fighting ring a couple months back where all the dogs went missing, because that's where she got them from. They've been being rehabilitated through Santa magic and holiday cheer and the love of a bunch of elves. She's going to probably have to get going because you can't stick around forever when you're Santa.
No, especially not in an ultra-max security superhuman prison.
But she's definitely feeling like this test run went pretty well, because if you can sneak into a maximum security prison, then you can sneak into a household chimney. So she's going to get to her feet and thank Eddie for his time, remind him to stay on the nice list. And as she's heading to the door, I think she's going to pause because she's been stranded in the North Pole. Not stranded. She's been in her very isolated homeland now, with only the Yeti, the elves, and some pit bulls to bounce ideas off of.
And her dark side.
Her dark side as well. Yes, I'm pretty sure she's become very close to it with her dark side because, you know, they think alike, kind of. They go along the same paths, just in opposite directions, which works. Yeah. I think she's going to have a very trying question that she's going to feel like he's the only person around, so he's the person she's going to have to ask. And he seems like a straight shooter. Actually, she's going to go, Eddie, you're a straight shooter, right?
Says, usually as straight as I come by, as long as you're not a police officer.
I'm definitely not that. How do you think I'd look with a beard? Because I've been thinking of growing one. And as she says that, I'd like to imagine, because of the Santa magic, she gets this, like, one of them, like, full, healthy, soft-looking white beards that's, like, a couple inches long, kind of Santa-like, but the ones that look, like, feathery, where you just kind of want to, like, grab them because they're just, like, white and pristine, like the belly of a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's going to grow one of those. Because she's been thinking about it for a long time, like since the railgun conversation in the sleigh. She'd be like, what do you think? Do you think it would work?
Well, all I can say to you, Santa, is this. If you're trying to get people off of the naughty list, you're going about things the wrong way.
She strokes her beard, and then I think she's going to turn invisible, stop time, and then run like hell to get back up so that she can get to the drainage pipe and sit back up to her sleigh.
Okay. As she is doing so, and the time has lapsed, and she's getting back to her sleigh, inside of his little office, Eddie is opening up the package. What is inside the package for Eddie?
It's an item that actually doesn't come from the Santa magic. She stored it in her bag because the bag is the best place to store it. But it will actually be an item that Santana had before she became Santa, before she met Railgun. It would have been one of the items her live stream viewers would have recognized from the wall of her live stream, because it would be one of the like first edition Abacus action figures, complete with all of the tiny little beads that got lost or eaten by all of the children, the ones that got it discontinued from the shelves because they were magnetic and so got trapped in the intestines of children. But it'll be perfectly restored with all of the beads on it.
And As you're taking your sled off of the roof.
She's going to be checking to see if you opened it with her Santa magic, because she really, you know, worked hard on that.
As you're heading off in your sled into the night, you can see in your mind's eye him tilting his head back and laughing just as heartily as possible as he holds up the figure. If you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, you can always email us at realplaygamespodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at realplaypod. If you'd like to support the show, please visit our Patreon at www.patreon.com/realplaygamespod and get early and exclusive content in exchange for helping us buy a cheeseburger occasionally. From PJ, Harm, Ames, Obi, Rue, and GM John, we hope that no matter the reason, your holidays are cheerful and bright.